Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You can watch the show on Facebook or YouTube. Just go to those places and type in Today's Issues and join us there. We welcome everyone who wants to watch the show, and Walker's posting the stories we've been discussing, and you can have access to those as well and interact with other folks there. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Steve Jordahl's in studio with us now. And in Kansas City, KS, is Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray joins us on Tuesdays and Thursdays to co-host the program when he is available. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Go ahead,
everybody.
Brother.
Well, we want to get to the one story, that major story that we haven't been able to talk about yet today, and that's Attorney General Jeff Sessions resigning. But before we do that, I wanted to pay off on a promise I made yesterday. We were at the end. I was going to give something a little, you know, light to end the thing with, and the whole Jim Acosta thing broke out on TV, and we were kind of commentating that live. But this is the last thing I wanted to play from election night. Nancy Pelosi was exulting in her victory, and she was up on the stage touting everything that they'd done, happy that they took the House. She expects to be Speaker. And then she said this.
Today is more than about Democrats and Republicans. It's about restoring the Constitution's checks and balances to the Trump administration. It's about stopping the GOP and Mitch McConnell's assaults on Medicare, Medicaid, the Affordable Care Act, and the health care of 130 million Americans living with pre-existing medical conditions. Let's hear it more for pre-existing medical conditions.
Yay, conditions.
Raise the roof. So we're applauding.
First off, Senator Mitch McConnell has done nothing to hurt Medicaid, Medicare, or even Obamacare. Right. I mean, they haven't even fully repealed it yet. So
Let's hear it for pre-existing conditions.
I tell you what, it's
really hard to know what to say.
It's going to be a fun
that.
2 years, isn't it?
Let me tell you, the Republicans have their problems. Yes, as all parties do. You know, you have your different factions. I understand that. We talked about Jim Jordan versus the establishment, or so forth. Let me tell you something. The people in the Democratic Party, they got some real problems, because Nancy Pelosi is not the person you want being your chief spokesperson right now. She, as I mentioned before, she slipped, and that was evidence of it. That's a Saturday Night Live skit, but it really happened.
It did.
So, you know, whatever they want to say about President Trump and his outfrontness, if you want to, sometimes rudeness, I would grant you that. Nancy Pelosi is going to be, she's the gift that keeps on giving.
Is she going to win it, Tim? I mean, is there anybody on the Democrat, I mean, it wouldn't be Maxine Waters, would it? I mean, if it's not her, who would it be?
It's like the mafia boss. You better take them out if you're going to stage a coup, or the king. I'm mixing my metaphors here. Or you're going
king,
down.
Best not miss, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So Nancy Pelosi's been in power a long time. She stayed. So she's got a lot of IOUs to call in. She's got a lot of loyal servants. By servants, I mean people in the Democratic Party on her side of the aisle. So it's hard to take somebody like that down, especially if you're a newcomer in town. So I see her staying for now. But I'm just saying, these these really hard left folks who are now going to Washington, D.C., they want some new blood. They want a new spokesperson. They don't want Nancy Pelosi. But I don't know how that's going to play out. But she called President Trump, President Bush, three times or something like
that?
I think
that's happened again.
And listen, I am not saying we all. I
get my names mixed up sometimes.
Yeah, we all do that.
Sure.
We all do that, or, you know, forget something. That's, or have a brain freeze. That happens to all of us. I'm just saying to you, she's shown signs of this happening multiple times in public, and you have to be concerned if you're a Democratic Party machine that she's going to be the source of, you know, a gaffe a week that's going to be pointed out to the public. But we'll see what happens there. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. One of the big stories, we had three or four from yesterday, but since yesterday, Steve. Yeah. But the biggest story from yesterday really
about
was...
About lunchtime, I think it happened. I remember Fred was walking in back from lunch, so that would have been... Oh, usually it's about 4 o'clock. I'm kidding. That's about 1 or 1:15 he comes back from lunch. And I looked up just as he came in. Jeff Sessions is out at the Department of Justice. It was a shock. Thinking about it now, maybe not so much, but yes, Jeff Sessions was asked to leave the Justice Department. He offered his resignation after the president asked for it, wrote a letter. This is a little bit of the letter we're going to play you right now, cut three. And this is Fox News's Catherine Herridge as she's getting the letter and reading it cold on the air. Yesterday.
I am particularly grateful to the fabulous men and women in law enforcement all over this country with whom I have served. I have had no greater honor than to serve alongside them. As I have said many times, they have my thanks and I will always have their backs. Most importantly, in my time as Attorney General, we have restored and upheld the rule of law, a glorious tradition that each of us has a responsibility to safeguard. We have operated with integrity and have lawfully and aggressively advanced the policy agenda of this administration. And then he concludes on a personal note. I have been honored to serve as Attorney General and have worked to implement the law enforcement agenda based on the rule of law that formed a central part of your campaign for the presidency. Thank you for the opportunity, Mr. President. It's signed, Attorney General Jeff Sessions.
So that, and it was an undated letter. There's some speculation that perhaps it was stuck at the president's desk for a while because, as we know, the president and Jeff Sessions have not had the most cordial relationships for quite a while.
Why did, right? It seems unusual that that Jeff Sessions didn't do that himself. Read his letter of resignation or I don't know.
Well, is that common? Surely, Tim, he knew about it before yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He had to. I mean, every part of this makes sense, that he wrote the letter, gave it to the president maybe weeks ago, and maybe they both agreed on the day after the election.
Yeah.
We're going to go forward with this.
Yeah, Jeff Sessions was the first U.S. senator to endorse Donald Trump.
That's right. Yeah, Walker. Jeff Sessions, the former attorney general, did an excellent job at the Department of Justice. That's unquestionable. He carried out 99% of President Trump's agenda, or 100%. And the only issue, the elephant in the room, was the whole Russia probe and how Jeff Sessions recused himself. The president didn't agree with it. I didn't agree with Jeff Sessions recusing himself, but he did. But other than that, he did an excellent job. He's an excellent man, and he'll be remembered as that.
I must say I differ with you slightly. With President Donald Trump, there are no elephants in the room.
True.
Because he talks about them.
True.
I don't know what he said or what he will say. He's been tweeting frustration with General Sessions for a few months now. So you knew this was going to happen.
And you know that President Trump is doing good things when the Democrats and the left and the media are up in arms.
They're now defending Jeff Sessions.
Yeah, they're now defending Jeff Sessions. And they are highly upset about the acting attorney general and who it is.
Yes, it's somebody that is a fan of, his name is Matt Whitaker.
Uh-huh.
He was the chief of staff to Attorney General Sessions, and he was confirmed by the Senate when he was a judge in a lower court, but he has not been confirmed by the Senate for his position at Justice in Washington. And so there's some talk that he's not qualified under the law to be Attorney General or acting Attorney General. Has to be somebody that has been sworn in. I was hearing this morning, they have to be somebody that has been sworn in by the Senate in their current position or a recess appointment. And the Senate is technically in session, so it's not a recess appointment.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
It was a law that was put in apparently around the time that they were going through FBI chiefs during the Nixon Watergate era.
Right.
And Congress came up with a plan to make sure that they had a say, or that it wasn't just a yes man that was put in.
I've heard people complain that, well, this person wasn't approved by anybody. He's a political appointee and he shouldn't have that position. But I haven't yet heard that he's illegitimate. Because he's the top law enforcement officer of the country.
Andrew Napolitano was making that argument on Fox this
morning. I saw him yesterday. I don't agree with Napolitano on that.
He said what?
He's questioning the legitimacy of the person. And
saying that under the law, Napolitano said that he is qualified as far as he can do the job. He has the experience and the expertise to do the job, but the law says that it has to be somebody that has been approved by the Senate in their current position, and he hasn't. So under the law—
Well, he hadn't had time.
No, well, it's assumed that when you get an acting attorney general, it's not going to be—you need one the next day. So for acting attorney general, you can elevate the assistant attorney general, Rod Rosenstein, or you can get somebody else that has been confirmed by the Senate in their current position— Or if it's a recess appointment, you can pretty much pick whoever you need. But it's assumed that if you need an acting attorney general, that the attorney general has left in somewhat of a hurry.
Yeah.
And that he hasn't been appointed for that job, but that he was confirmed by the Senate somewhere. So that's not the case.
I wonder if Jeff Sessions' career in Washington is over, Ray. He served
for the moment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I saw last night that he might run for his old seat down in Alabama in 20.
You know, take Judge Jones out of the Senate.
Yes, and I think he could win.
Oh, he would.
He might do that.
Yeah, he would win. But I don't know. He's 72, I think.
At some point, you want to play golf a little bit, huh?
No, these guys, they want to stay forever. Yeah. Republicans and Democrats. They, you know, look at Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Look at Nancy Pelosi. They cannot go home. Yeah. These people, mm-hmm. they get to Washington 30, 40 years, again, both parties, and they just, I guess they get used to being called Mr. Senator or...
There are a lot of perks.
Yeah.
A lot of perks.
Best restaurants, best seating, you know, all the attention you get.
I have a question here about this Whitaker. Without regard, just sort of leaving aside all the, Steve, the questions you raised, is he considered a candidate for the permanent position, or is it likely? Is he just a placeholder for a few days or weeks to get whoever Mr. Trump wants in there?
I believe there's something in the law that says you cannot confirm, or you cannot if you are acting director of or attorney general, you cannot be elevated permanently.
So he couldn't be.
I don't think he can be. I heard that somewhere. I don't know that firsthand, but that was something I heard. His name otherwise would be on the list. Adam is shaking his head no, but
our engineer. All cabinet level positions have to be confirmed by the Senate.
By the Senate.
Yes, yes.
Well, President Trump's, you know, got that going.
So who's on the short list to be the next attorney general?
Well, that's a good question.
Some said Representative Ratcliffe from Texas.
There's a couple names out there. Ratcliffe from Texas. As I've also heard there was a woman she's an African-American conservative jurist
Chris
Christie.
Chris Christie is also
has been mentioned.
Trey Gowdy,
former governor of New Jersey.
Those are the names.
So what about Lindsey Graham?
He said he doesn't want it.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be a good fit, despite the fact that
he's got a good position.
Despite the fact that he's been President Trump's defender with respect to Kavanaugh and other things the last few months, the personality types of Donald Trump and Lindsey Graham are not, I don't think they're conducive to working in that kind of relationship.
Probably not.
Probably about the same way Jeff Sessions and him. You know, General Sessions did get a lot done that you don't read about every day or don't hear about He was carrying out the president's agenda. He just wasn't able to oversee the Mueller investigation, and that irked President Trump, and rightfully so, because President Trump put him in, and then he recused himself. Right, Ray? So I think
that's
the order in which it happened, and President Trump's like going, well, if I'd have known you was going to do that, I wouldn't have put you in.
I wouldn't have put you in.
You in that position. So, and a lot of people say Attorney General Sessions didn't have to recuse himself, but he did so because he had talked to the Russians at a meeting somewhere
or something.
It was even a party of some sort. I think he was mentioned. Of course, the Democrats were stretching at that point for any name that could possibly even have, had a Russian vodka at some point in their life.
Russian dressing on your salad.
That's right.
The Democrats are also up in arms about, well, this acting attorney general by the last name of Whitaker, he wrote an opinion piece a year ago about how he thinks the Mueller probe has gone too far, and they're saying, well, he just needs to recuse himself. They're just pulling this recusal out of nowhere. The bar for recusal is very, very high. I would argue that Jeff Sessions didn't even reach it. But what the Democrats are saying is basically, if you have an opinion contrary to ours on Mueller's probe, then you shouldn't be able to hold that position.
Yeah.
But that's way out of line.
I'm thinking the Mueller probe is going to go on until the next presidential election.
Well, that's what they would hope.
2 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you see any reason why it wouldn't, Walker?
If it's as politically motivated as all the facts show, then I think the Democrats will be happy and Mueller will be happy to carry it on into eternity.
There is a report this morning from several sources, none of which are mine, but that are saying that Mueller is preparing his final report. So I can see why they would like it to, but...
Which makes you wonder why the Democrats are up in arms about Mueller might, if he's about to issue his final report, why does it matter who takes the attorney general position?
I'm just going to go on record as saying I think he's going to go on for another year or two. I'm talking about Mueller. Maybe I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I see no end in sight. He's got the money to do it, and the Democrats are now in charge of the House. And, I mean, life is good if you're going after Trump in the Mueller team. Right now, there's nothing to check them,
right,
or stop them, except for the president himself or the acting attorney general. They could fire Robert Mueller and end all this, right?
Right. And people are asking, they were saying, well, who's in charge of the Mueller probe? The acting attorney general is, and they acted just flabbergasted that the attorney general would be in charge of something under his department.
Yeah.
This stuff is basic chain of command on how things work.
Ray, are you surprised that the president has not ended this when he could, or is he just view that as giving fuel to the other side?
I think he wanted to get past the midterms.
Yeah.
All bets are off now.
Okay.
If you ask me, do I expect him to do it? First of all, trying to guess what Mr. Trump is going to do, right?
Right.
That's you never know. But I think it's much more likely to happen now that the midterms are over, and in essence, the 2020 campaign is now beginning, right? So I think, I think he might do it. Might just say, we're done here.
He has the constitutional authority to do that.
The president does, yes.
Well, know this. Today, the first shot was fired across the ballot, a related story. Incoming chairmen of several committees in the House, Jerry Nadler of Judiciary, Elisha Cummings of the Government Oversight, Adam Schiff of Intelligence, Dianne Feinstein. They have sent a letter. They sent a letter to Dan Coats of the DNI, White House Counsel Pat Cipollone, CIA Director Gina Haspel, Attorney Robert Guzman, Steve Mnuchin, Paul, Director of the IRS, and a bunch of other, Chris Ray. They say preserve all relevant materials to the Sessions firing and to the related to the work of the Office of the Special Counsel. So they're already starting serving.
Well, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of letters from President Trump's attorneys saying,
right,
dear so-and-so, no, thank you. Because that you don't have right. The Congress, they can subpoena, they can request a lot of things, but executive decisions from the president and him firing, he can fire whoever he wants.
That's right.
They have no business in the inner workings or whether a firing is justified or not.
This is what bothers me. If I was President Trump, I'd be frustrated. If you know that you're completely innocent of anything like obstruction or working with the Russians or getting money from the Russians, and yet this whole legal mechanism has come, and you even had people of your own party and that are your own team and saying, well, now that the legal stuff has come in, they're asking you to save papers and all this stuff, you really can't just kill it. Even though, and the Democrats know this as well, once they get the legal machinery going, it all of a sudden becomes official, even if everybody and their aunt knows that he's innocent.
Right. At this point, I'm just thinking tactically what's politically good for the president. If I were on his team, at this point, you know, this thing's going on a couple of years now, and the president could have ended it any time he wanted to. And if the president knows there's nothing there, this is all, he calls it a hoax, then you might be better just to let it play out and go out, die with a whimper. And then if you fire him, Mueller I'm talking about, then you reignite the fire of
There's a political reason to do it, and then there's a political reason not to.
Yeah, I'd probably lean, even though I think this thing could keep going on.
Sure.
I think probably best for him not to fire him since there's not going to be anything there substantively.
Well, you're going to, you know, you fire Mueller,
yeah,
and you're just going to turn the dogs loose.
Yeah.
Inside the house.
I think he knows that. What else you got, Steve?
I just wanted to end with something from yesterday's press conference that hasn't gotten as much press because of the whole Acosta thing. There was a young reporter who doesn't have often a chance to ask the president questions who got his shot, and he took it. This is cut four. I'm sorry. This is not cut four. Cut six.
A lot of people are going to be rushing to Iowa, rushing to New Hampshire. You know that the Democrats are already looking ahead to 2020. Do you want to lock down your ticket right now, sir? Will the vice president be your running mate in 2020?
Well, I haven't asked him, but I hope so. Where are you? Mike, will you be my running mate? Huh? Stand up, Mike, please. Raise your right hand. No, I'm over. Will you? Thank you. Okay, good. The answer is yes. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
That was unexpected, but I feel very fine.
Yeah. There you go. So we now know.
Talking to Vice President Mike Pence.
Mike Pence. Mike, will you be my running mate? Like he asked him to the prom.
The prom, right.
The other thing that's happening, you guys talked this morning about Ruth Bader Ginsburg having broken some ribs, and she's in the hospital recovering. And there's a new Twitter handle that's come out. It is hashtag ribs for Ruth. And people are calling, offering to send their own ribs, to donate their own ribs to Ruth if she would just please get well and not leave the court.
Ribs for Ruth?
Ribs for Ruth.
Social media can be fun.
Toys for tots, cars for kids, and now we got
ribs for Ruth.
Ribs for Ruth. Well, all right then. Steve, what's at onenewsnow.com? Why should I go there?
Well, because you can get all the news of the day, all the stories we've been talking about, plus a bunch of others. Onenewsnow.com.
And onenewsnow.com, that's our news service, folks, that you need to take advantage of. They have daily email alerts with the day's news package there.
We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and your One News Now mobile app.
Hey, Ray, thanks for being on with us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Tim.
That's Dr. Ray Pritchard. And Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
And Adam Suttis ran the control board for us today. Thank you, Adam. And I'm Tim Wildman. Keep listening to American Family Radio. We got some more great programs for you all afternoon. And we'll see you back here tomorrow for Trivia Friday.